Welcome to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac.
The Royals started buzzing, particularly in this area, yesterday when it was revealed. We had Vest I heard on the show. And she kind of dropped something on us about new head basketball coach for the Tar Heels, Hubert Davis, contract. And it was more, it was like we were shocked that it was, that it was right around $400,000 a year base salary. And apparently there are more details coming for his contract. I heard this yesterday too. Michael, you got any more insight to this?
How do you feel, Reese, is the question. You were
– well, I mean,
get so worked up about something yesterday, man, yesterday.
I'm just – I was feeling some type of way. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I was okay. Well, I really wasn't okay. But I really went out to DB and I heard how much Steve Forbes and Wade Fryer was making. And how many games he won last year? One? He won one more game than Hubert did. Probably. Hubert wasn't even coaching. But
well, let's see.
I called some of my sources.
According to my sources, several things are happening.
I called some people, and as it turns out, I mean, he's going to be more than that. I mean, there's some other things that comes with that will get him up close to where Steve Forbes is right now at $2.2 million. But that's not really been disclosed that way. Okay? So, K-Mac, it's a little bit more. It's a lot more than what was disclosed. So are you good with that, Michael?
Well, I'm just looking. Let's see. 5-year contract worth $9.75 million with an additional $250,000 in an expense allowance and the opportunity to earn $1,075,000 in bonuses each season. I'm just looking at some of the bonuses right now. If Hubert Davis gets ACC Coach of the Year, that's an extra $25,000. National Coach of the Year is an extra $50,000. You also get an extra $50,000 for winning the ACC regular season, and another $50,000 for winning the ACC tournament, and $25,000 for making the NCAA tournament. And then the farther you go in the NCAA tournament. Like $75,000 for getting to the round of 32 in the Sweet 16, $200,000 for reaching the round of 8 and the Final Four, and if you win the whole tournament, the national title, that's an additional $250,000.
Well, damn, that's like Ricky Williams' contract when he played for the doggone New Orleans Saints. He signed for $100,000, but if he do 18 other things, he can make $1.2 million that year. No, but what it doesn't say is that how much the Rams Club is gonna give him. I didn't read that anywhere. Did you read that anywhere in there?
Nope.
So, okay. Did you read in there how much his Nike contract is gonna be?
Nope.
Did you read that in there too?
Nope.
Okay. All right. Well, actually, it's Air Jordan contract. That wasn't
Jordan
in there either, was it? Jordan Brand, yeah. So that wasn't in there either, was it? Okay, that's why. All right. So when you add those things up, I think it'd be true. And by the way, I did hear from Coach yesterday. Heard from him. We finally connected. And later on the day, I know when he's going to come on. Hopefully, it'll be tomorrow, Friday. But I'll let you'll know about it. But I did hear back from him yesterday. He's been really busy trying to get his staff together because there's been some challenges there too. But we'll see. So calm down, people. D.R. Reese may be a little – I'm still not okay with the base salary, but at the end of the day, if everything adds up to be like, $1.7 to $2 million a year, then I'm good with it. But that $400,000, that didn't make sense to me at all. It really didn't. But it is regardless from a state employee perspective, still because he does work for the state, by the way. I mean, you can go out on the state website and find out how much any state employee makes in this state. And that's, that includes coaches, too. So it's not hard to figure out how much base salary he's getting from Carolina. And it's a website out there. I tell you about every job, anybody work for the state, you can find how much money they make. It's public record. So anyway, I'm good. No, I just hope K-Mac's good with it.
Why? He's not in the family?
No, but he was in the family for 2 minutes.
2 minutes.
Yeah, well.
But Hubert, I mean, we finally got a little more details on Coach Davis's salary, albeit it still may not stack up to the other coaches in the ACC, but it's going to be a lot more than what's been reported. I'll put it
down. Oh, yeah? It's going to be a lot more?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. I saw that yesterday. I said they're trying to make good on the family promise, but I see how it is. I see how you guys are
trying to make good on the family promise.
Yeah, trying to make good on the family promise. I get. Okay. I'm not. I was trying to chime in. I must not have been potted up, but I said, "Oh, you feel better about that, Reese? You feel like the family's back together again? The band's back together?"
Well, you know how it is. Sometimes they call it miscommunication.
Nah, ain't no damn miscommunication. You know, ain't no damn miscommunication. 400 is 400. 400 is 400. So I don't know where all this miscommunication is. 400 is 400. Incentives are just that. Incentives are not guaranteed or not promised. You can make up to $1.2 million a year, but your base salary is going to be nowhere close to that. It's so good, but I get it. It's a state job. You got to layer it in, and that's how it all comes about. I'm just saying. I don't trust a family like that. That's just me.
Oh, you don't trust your family?
I don't trust their family like that. I don't trust them like that.
I'm not surprised you're not trusting the family. I'm not surprised by that. But I trust the family, and the family's going to be just fine.
So did Hubert. So we're going to find out. We're going to find out.
Well, wait a minute. He had to agree to sign and came back.
That's what I said. He trusts the family. You family. We're going to take care of you. Okay, family. All right. We're going to find out.
Okay.
So let me ask you this question before we just, gloss over the fact that it's a state job and it has to be done this way in order for it to work.
Right.
Because Coach Williams' salary was similar to that. I mean, if you really look at his, he should be on the level of a Nick Saban and others. And it didn't look like that, but eventually ended up being like that. And we all know how.
Okay.
How it gets there, put it that way. So right. I'm just going to ask you this one question. Would it have been more if it was anybody but a Hubert Davis? It was a big name coming from outside the program.
Of course.
Back into the program. It would have been, you
say. Of course. Yes, yes.
Well, I got a problem with that.
But the first time. Well,
I got a problem with that.
Why you got a problem with that?
Because now you're asking for a family discount. And I think that's wrong. That's wrong. You're asking for a family discount.
If you wouldn't ask
them for the discounts, why are you asking me? I'm family. Why are you asking me to give you a discount?
When Davis was hired, UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham told WRL that his contract would be comparable to other coaches with his experience.
The family discount.
Well,
come on, man.
I don't know, Bubba, but then I look down here. Jerome Howard is making $2.1 million. Wait a minute now.
He didn't have
any experience.
Come on now.
So when he went to Michigan, so that blows it out the water. I think, Mac,
and Jerome Howard didn't sit on the bench behind somebody else for 15 years to do the Carolina way and be in the family. This is what you do. You gonna tax me again? Yeah.
Okay, Matt.
That's what I do. I come in and I put the blanket on all of this party.
Point, though. If you bring a coach in, if John Calipari were to come in, you're gonna pay him some crazy amount of money to get him coming to school. That makes sense. Well,
according to Carolina, right? It's a state job. We can only pay so much. This is the only thing
Kentucky
we can do.
University of Kentucky is a state job, but Calipari makes $8 million or some crazy amount of money a year.
So what's
but
the problem?
Because your base salary has to be X amount of... Hebert Davis is going to be just fine. I'm not here to defend him. I just know that a conversation I had yesterday is that he's going to be just fine. And he's going to make much more than what's been reported from a state perspective. I know that for a fact.
I completely and wholeheartedly agree with that. It's not necessary. It's not even really about money he's making, because I don't like getting in people's pockets like that. Do what you do. I'm just saying the optics of it all from a university like the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
It doesn't look, it's not a good look, as the sports shop would say.
Well, let me put it this way. Haven't been a good week. I mean, it's been some challenges. I'll put it that way. How about that?
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Nick Saban had an interesting story that he told about his wife recently. Nick Saban, anytime he says anything, you're going to hear about it right here on this show.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Yeah, this was at the 2018 AFCA banquet when Nick Saban was recognized as a regional coach of the year. And during his acceptance speech, if you will, he kind of shared this little story with us.
They had a homecoming day for Nick Saban. And all the guys I went to high school with and all the people, the family, you know, came to it. It was a big deal. And it was wonderful. It really was. But when I was a kid growing up, my dad owned a service station. And we lived in the country. And my wife, I tried to date from the time I was in the seventh grade, she would never, ever date me. Never, ever go out with me. She had this guy named Mickey Schaefer that she was always boyfriend with. She was from the city. She went to East Fairmont. She was the queen bee, the drum majorette and all that stuff. And, you know, I just could not get a date. And here I am, the country bumpkin out here, pumping gas every day. And it's, in those days, it's full service now. I mean, it's not like today. Somebody comes in, pumps your own gas, you collect the money. I mean, you had to clean the windows, check the oil, change tires, mufflers, grease cars. I mean, I was filthy, dirty, black fingernails all the time. Could never get a date. So finally, when I got in high school, we were pretty good. We were just a class AA school. She went to a big AAA school, and we always played them, and we beat them like a drum. But she finally noticed me. And I finally got a date. And she had dated this Mickey Schaefer guy for like 6 years. So when we go back for this reunion, lo and behold, Mickey Schaefer owns a service station. And Terry and I have been married for 42 years, so however many that was, minus five. So I said, I am not going to miss the opportunity to do a drive-by. Just to make sure she kind of knows how she picked.
Yeah, exactly.
So we drive by Mickey Schaefer service station, and I said, see there, honey? There's your boy, Mickey Schaefer. I said, if you'd have married him, that's where you'd be now. She said, bullshit, if I'd have married him, he'd be the head coach at Alabama now.
Classic bags.
Yeah, don't mess with Miss Terry now. Like, get a little difficult.
Miss Terry. Yeah, Miss Terry. Miss Terry, it's hilarious, man. But, man, it's kind of good to hear those kind of stories on Mac. Let's do a drive-by. How you living now?
Now, the funny part is Nick all in his feelings like he's the man. And Terry said, man, you got, bro. You better recognize where it comes from, bro.
Yeah. You think it's you? You better ask somebody. Anyway.
She said, bullshit, if I'd have married him, he'd be the head coach at Alabama now.
Classic.
Oh, man.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Man, this is a segment we always get excited to talk about. Our main man, We got to go beyond the ball, beyond the bounce of the ball, beyond the football. We have to figure out that there's always more to the story. Do that with our main man, James White. Good morning, James. How you doing?
I am doing good. This is a tough hump day in some ways.
Uh-oh.
And lot on all of our minds. And so on this day, we thought that, you know, the story of Coach Hubert Davis, we thought that part of what happened last week would be an old story, but it's not. Coach Davis is experiencing something that I think, you know, Reese, K-Mac, Michael, we all thought would be different in 2021. But what he's experiencing is the weight of the story. And the weight of the story is the weight of being the first black head coach for UNC Tar Heel basketball. And so when we were watching the conference, we were holding our breath, we were rooting for him, and yes, in the beginning, he was doing incredibly well, talking about leadership, even talking, I think, in a healthy way about his faith. But then he was asked that question. He was asked the question about being the first black head coach for the USC Tar Heels. Now, we were holding on to our seats, we were waiting, and he mentioned that it is significant that he's the first black head coach. He talked about the context of Division I basketball. And then he said, I'm proud to be an African American. But then he said, I'm also very proud that my wife is white, and I'm proud that my children, three beautiful children, are a combination of both of us. Oh, the weight of the story. Not sure why he made that statement. We all are guessing and wondering. I wonder if it was because Hubert was born in 1970. And 1970 is only 3 years after the Supreme Court ruled in 1967, Loving versus Virginia, that people from different races now can marry. It wasn't until 1987 that Mississippi passed an amendment to remove the language from their constitution that now it's legal for people from two different races to marry. Listen, it wasn't until 1998 that South Carolina changed the language in their constitution. It wasn't until 2000 that Alabama removed the language from its constitution that now it's legal for people from two different races, black and white, to marry. But we all know a black man having a white wife is not new. But the context of this story, we're all waiting to see, is there going to be justice for George Floyd in the Derek Chauvin trial? Will he be convicted? And now we're experiencing Dante Wright, who was killed by a white 26-year-old police veteran. You know, history will not allow us to move beyond the weight of being first. Jackie Robinson, he's the first black baseball player. He also could have talked about Fritz Pollard, who was the first black man to play pro football in 1920 for the Akron Pros, and would go on to become a coach and become the first black quarterback for a pro team. Yes, I'm thankful for his relationship with Charlie Scott. But there's also, again, other players that have played, again, for Carolina. 1964, 1965, the first black player was a player who played as a freshman. On the freshman team. But thankfully, yes, Charlie Scott, more to his story, not only was he the first black athlete, but he was also the first black athlete who was a scholarship player. You know, and then finally, there's other sports. Althea Gibson, first black person to win a Grand Slam. She won Wimbledon, French Open, U.S. National Championship. But because she was the first, she made room for the next. He could have mentioned that Venus Williams, not only an incredible athlete, but she's the first black athlete to lobby the British Parliament for equal prize money for men and women players at Wimbledon. The weight of being first. Oh, Coach Davis is experiencing that. Maybe he should listen to Vice President Kamala Harris's mother. When she said to her daughter, Kamala, you may be the first to do many things, but make sure you're not the last. Coach Hubert Davis, you may be the first to coach the UNC Tar Heels. Just make sure you do it well. so that you are not the last black coach to coach at UNC Chapel Hill. And you know why? Because there's always more to the story.
Wow. James, no, I had a hunch that you was going to bring it this morning, and this is going to be the topic because it's been a topic. I mean, it's still a topic, and it's still last year. And, you know, I said earlier, I talked to via text message last night with Coach Davis, and he's going to come on the show, and we're gonna try to figure out, you know, what he meant by that. So that'll be good,
yeah.
A good contest. Yeah. Great. This is a good one, my friend. Always a pleasure to have you on. It's always more to the story, huh? Wow.
Yeah, and recent K-Mac, we all know that. I mean, in many ways, you all are the first. And you all experience the weight of being the first. And so we got to keep in mind, not to make an excuse, again, but he's an athlete. We know that sometimes people remember the shot you missed rather than all the points that you made. But you all live out every day, and so do so many other listeners who are the first in many spaces of influence, that it's the weight of being the first black leader is still real for us today.
Mm. Wow. Awesome. My man, always brings it, man. Appreciate you, James. Thanks so much, man. By the way, we're going
to
can check out the podcast to hear all our stories, including this one. There's always more to the story. My man, James White.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
Got to pivot real quickly, man. Cause this is an interesting story right here. We try to keep it 100 right here on the Sports Shop because we try to bring people in with a different flavor. I think this guy's a veteran too, K-Mac. I think I'm right about that. But,
flavor.
My man, Zach Robinson, who has his own radio show, but he's really focusing on, and he has his own band. It's called the Nappyhead Funk Army, which is an interesting name. We're going to find out what that's all about. And then on top of that, man, you know, this guy, he just makes it happen. He focusing on funk music as well as inspiration music. Let's welcome to the Sports Shop for the first time, our main man, Zach Robinson. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's up,
Zach?
Brother, how you doing? How's everything, man? How you guys doing? All right? What's going on?
Doing good.
We're doing good. Yeah, so, Zach, I didn't want to misspeak, but are you a veteran too? I wasn't sure.
No, sir. I'm not a veteran. I have a lot of veterans in my family, but I'm always supporting a veteran. So, no, sir, I'm not a veteran.
Okay, so when we hear this name, Nappyhead Funk Army, what the hell is that? Explain to people, what is that? Okay.
Well, first of all, you know, you guys are awesome and great, and I appreciate you, man. And, you know, just keep doing what you're doing, man. I love your show. So what happened is, you know, we were doing a gig one day. We used to be called just Nappyhead, you know, and that name originated back in the day, whatever. And one day, you know, since we had so many pieces, it was about 10 of us up there. You know, somebody said, wow, you got an army. And I heard it, I picked up on it, and I was like, you know what, the Nappyhead Funk Army, because wherever we went, wherever we performed, we would get so interactive with the people having them come on stage, you know. And everything I learned from George and Bootsy and all of them. So we would just do that. And then it just became this thing where people...
Wait a minute. You can't be dropping names like... You can't be dropping them names. Did you hear that, Matt? George. George and George Clinton and Boots.
George
and Boots.
Yeah,
talk about that.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, we first started because your friend of mine, Craig Ajama in Brooklyn, shout out Brooklyn, you know, he was trying to put together something for George's birthday party. George had about like 5 birthday parties in one night. He'd always come through and just like do it up. And he's from down here, but, you know, he would just do it up. So I didn't have a band. I was doing, like, corporate wedding stuff, playing drums. And then my friend was like, yo, can you put together something real fast? And, I was like, yeah, cool. I got a band. I can do that. So I threw together some cash, and we did a gig. We did his birthday party. It was in 98, and that was, like, bad cool. But then, you know, he was like, you know, why don't you start your own thing? And then I actually was dating this girl, one of the brides of Funkenstein. Her name is Sheila Horn. but she changed her name to Mookie Kelly. And I was dating her, and that's how I kind of, you know, was able to hang out at their rehearsals and understand what they was doing. And Bernie Worrell, one of the greatest keyboard players ever, you know, the late, great Bernie Worrell.
Yeah.
Love you, Bernie. He was the one that was talking to me, said, you know, start your own thing. You know, and George said the same thing, and then Bootsy said the same thing. So, you know, I just like, all right, I'm gonna start something, and you know, we went from there, and you know, we still trying to put some music out, so it's cool.
Outstanding. Well,
go ahead, Matt.
Go ahead, Rick. Yeah, I was gonna say you talk about putting good music out. So, has there ever been a time where you just kind of think to yourself, well, maybe I need to change. Maybe I should do something. Maybe I do something different.
Totally. Because, you know, I was always inspired by, you know, say, Prince and James Brown and Sly and Chaka. And, you know, I grew up, you know, my dad was a Baptist minister, so I'm a PK, so right there, that's trouble. You know, I learned from some of the greatest gospel musicians in the world came out of church. All the great musicians come from there. So right there, you know, I knew then and there, growing up, listening to the Five Blind Boys and Mahalia Jackson and Harmonize the Four. Yeah, I go down now. And then I would go to my sister's house and she'd be listening to Motown, right? And all of that stuff. So and Aretha Franklin, I was getting the best of both worlds. And, you know, then hanging out, you know, where we lived at in Bayshore, it was, you know, it was mixed. And then I started listening to a lot of that rock stuff. And I heard this guy named Jimi Hendrix, and my life was never the same. I heard about this guy and I studied up on him and I was like, oh, so this guy is just that guy. So I put all that together in the pot and then P-Funk came along. I heard that, so I want to testify. And that made me feel some kind of way as a kid. I was like, this ain't really Motown-ish and it ain't really straight, you know, whatever. I was like, man, that feels kind of nasty. I said, you know, I want to see what they're talking about, you know. Ooh, luscious, you know. So delicious to me. I was like, oh, yeah. I said, this is right up my alley. So I got into
man.
Yeah, man. And then, you know, it was cool. You know, I learned a lot, man. And just, you know, just trying to spread some peace and love, man. You know, that brother that was on before was deep, man, when he talked about Hubert Davis. You know, that's some interesting stuff, man. Yeah, no, it's cool because I get it. Because my daughters are biracial. And I don't know why Hubert did that, but I can say sometimes – parents of biracial children just do it for their kids. So when their kids look back years later, their kids don't have to think that they were embarrassed by them. You know what I'm saying? Because my daughters make sure they always say, hey, you know, we're biracial. You know, so I got to make sure sometimes, depending upon what I'm talking about, like, and hello, Kayla and Maya, I know you're all in school right now, but hello, I got to make sure that I just acknowledge their existence. Because these young kids, they feel just like they feel. They don't, there's no sides to them and all this other stuff, you know, so that just could be. I was listening, I was like, that made me think about that, so I just wanted to say that. But yeah, man, the funk, think about it, right? The funk is, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, R&B and soul, they had a baby, you know, and they called it funk, and, you know, since they had strict grandparents like blues and jazz, the grandparents was like, listen, you better teach your kid the right way. But funk was a wild kid, so he only came out at night, never got on the radio.
You know what I'm saying? Wait a minute. Hey. you can tell this guy, he must talk for a living too, because let me get this question in. So we got Zach Robinson who's rocking with us. Let me get this in. He's the creator of the Nappy Head Funk Army. And talk about, now you guys are actually, you're ready to start playing right now, and you're local here in Raleigh, Durham. Talk about that, some of the things you got coming up.
Yeah, here's what we got. We you know, because I practice in New York and rehearse in Philly, but we plan to come here. We were just about to get it started, and then COVID hit. You know, because we have rejuvenated ourselves and we were just about to hit that, you know, get it going. And then COVID hit. So, you know, we have to finish our CD and then shoot a couple of videos and, you know, get that funding back. So, you know, right now with everything, it's crazy because, you know, venues, nobody quite knows who's safe, who's not. And our shout out to, you know, a booking agent, Heidi, you know, at HD Entertainment, she is being very careful because it's a lot of insurance things that we got to worry about. So we're looking to come maybe like, I don't know, August, September. I'm not going to rush it. We want to kind of see what's out there. You know, my producer as well, you know, says the same thing.
We got one question, man. Can Mac be down? Can we come on and hang out with y'all on the set or something, you know? Can we do that?
Of course. Anytime, bro. Anytime, man. You know, you guys are always welcome. You kidding me? You guys are the it. You're bigger than, you know, the whole thing. You know what I'm saying? You break new.
How can people, hey,
everything.
tell people how they can follow you and keep up with you guys, because I want to make sure people check out. I heard a lot of your cuts, man. It kind of take me back, because we're from the same kind of era, so I like that funk music too. So tell people how they can follow you and keep up with you guys.
Well, you can find us. I'm all over Facebook, Zach Robinson. You know, you can find me there. You can follow nappyheadfunkarmy.com. That's our website. Hit us up there. You know, I'm on Instagram, ZachW9. Hit me there. And just look up the Nappyhead Funk Army. There's only one of us. Nobody else has that name ever. So, you know, you can find us all over social media, Twitter, and all this other stuff. You know, and then plus two, you know, Funk in the Front Seat. Y'all can check that out.
Yeah, so Zach, that's a radio spot. K-Mac plays the trombone, so you know, and I play a little keyboard. So I think we could bring some juice to the table. I think we can.
I think you can too. I think you definitely should, man. You know, for sure, we can make that work. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. You know, I can't wait.
I can add that to the resume. I can play the phone. We can do
there
it.
You go.
We got this.
I know you can. I hear the music you play. I believe me. I'm listening all the time, man. First time I moved here, I heard Earth, Wind, and Fire. I was like, this is a sports show? They playing fantasy? I got to see what they're up to.
Hey, man, Zach, man. We're so happy to have you on today, man. Let's continue to collaborate. Maybe we can do some stuff together, man. Much love to you. We're going to make sure we support you, brother. And we appreciate you for coming on today.
Love you, man. Thank you so much, man. Love you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. It's The Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
We do a lot of things on this show. We have a lot of fun on this show. But right now, we're going to get a chance to talk to, as Reese teed it up before, the NBA veteran that's doing really, really, really great things. And with no ado, we'll go ahead and welcome to the show Johnny Newman. How you doing, Johnny? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. How are you all doing?
Well, you know, as you can tell, we have a good time. You know,
I hear Mac, you all having a great time.
K-Mac, maybe you don't remember this, but you remember we was back during our first early years in Durham.
Okay.
I think a second,
in the closet,
second or third
back
show.
We was in the closet on the car table.
In the closet. Yes, the I think table. Our second or third show. That was like 8-9 years ago. Jay New came on and rocked with us, so that was a long time. We appreciate him for that, man.
Hey, man, you all been doing a great job. Sometimes I can pull in and I listen in, and you know I get other reports from our boy Jackpot. But
exactly.
Doing great things and very, very, very.
You know Jackpot. Hey, look, you know.
Oh yeah, he know Jackpot real well. Absolutely.
Yeah. You trouble. Look, you trouble too.
I know him too well.
Yeah, that's true. So Jay New, let's get started, man. We want to get you on because, again, it's hump day, and we try to bring some people on to just to kind of get us a little insight to what's going on. Some people don't know, which I'll be shocked. John Newman played 16 years in the NBA, K-Mac. That's a long, 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 long time. He got buckets. I mean, played for the University of Richmond. He don't know this, but I was at the game when they in Charlotte, way back when they played the Charlotte Coliseum. When he's playing for the Richmond Spiders and he got busy. And who did y'all beat that game, Jay New? I can't remember who y'all beat.
I want to say it was the Auburn Tigers and Charles Barkley.
That's right. And good. And I hate Auburn. I'm glad y'all beat them because I hate Auburn. I'm glad y'all did that. But Jay New been doing some great work. But I wanted you to talk about, you got several things going on, but let's get into your sports and entertainment committee that you're putting together and why, what was the impetus of you putting this particular project together?
Well, I pledged capital, you know, back in school. Basically, when I was a freshman in spring 83, Cap has been near to dear to me ever since. I have the great opportunity to be able to start the sports and entertainment because I was having so much fun with Kappa and basketball. It was just great. And I wanted more of the athletes and entertainers to see and experience some of the things that I was experiencing, especially on a national level. And so I wanted to start the Sports and Entertainment Committee because Guy Wright, as you all know, Guy Wright is one of our yep. biggest things that we do in Kappa for mentorship and mentoring, you know, young men. And that's what it's all about. So I have been pulling others back into the fold and getting them involved in different programs that we have going on in Kappa right now.
Oh, man, very that's, nice. That's what's up. Go ahead, Mac.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, you know, which I forgot that we told me you were a Kappa, so I won't hold that against you, though.
That's right.
But
hey, J. Duke, find new pot to the day we die. Don't listen to that mess. Go ahead, K-Mac.
It's all good. But, you know, you just talked about starting new things and things that you guys are doing. When you kind of went down this path and try to continue to do, what's been some of the biggest encouragement that you received as you know trying to put some of these programs together and you know continue these programs?
I get brothers from all over, especially in doing our conclave lead years, and even the year before we would have our annual biannual meetings. I would get phone calls. Jay New, can I help? What time I need to be there? What can I do? And it's just been great. And what I've also been able to do, because I am the president of the Police Athletic League chapter in Richmond and Henrico, and today's social justice piece and trying to get the young kids to understand the relationships that you have to develop, the wrong things and the right things to do, and how to, if you do encounter police officers. So what I've been able to do in the different cities, because of my affiliation with the Police Athletic League, I've merged the kids of the families of the brothers with also the kids in the power programs in the different cities that we hold our national conventions in. And that's been great, because these are trying times for our youth. These are trying times mm-hmm. for us, and especially African Americans. And we need to really start to do whatever we can to help our kids understand, you know, the right things to do, the wrong things to do. And then if you are encountered by police officers, to try to be as calm as possible. But with all the publicity that we've been getting for so long, it's difficult, because, you know, I'm nervous too. And I'm 6'7".
Yeah,
I know. I mean, by the fact you guys just said something happened, we're just been revealed. I think that happened in Richmond, where the Army lieutenant got stopped for not having a tag or something on his car, and I think that happened in Richmond, if I'm not mistaken, recently, which is a challenge. We're talking to, of course, NBA 16 NBA veteran. And, of course, a youth advocate for Kappa Alpha Psi. We're talking Johnny Newman. Jay New, talk about the road, the Room to Read program. Talk about that, because that's an important program that I think people should know about.
My wife and I, we went to South Africa for a trip, about a three-week trip, and we were introduced to Room to Read in Africa. And we all know about the poverty, the inequalities in Africa and some of the areas that we participated in. I'm also a member of the Boule, and we went there with that trip, which was an outstanding trip. But when we went there, I got introduced to Room to Read with the kids, and I tell you all, it was powerful. It was powerful, the program that Room to Read has sent books to Africa, and they have different people come in and speak to the kids and read to the kids. And our 34th administration, Reuben Shelton Esquire, adopted the program, got me involved, because I wanted to get involved, because I knew about the program and I had, you know, those effects when I was in Africa. And it's a very powerful program in the schools, especially early on reading. And, you know, reading, you can achieve, and knowledge is power, and power is going to be money one day. if you keep working at it. So that's a very important program to me.
Wow. So, again, Johnny, let's talk about basketball since we got you on the show. I mean, you played for the Hornets for a while, and now we was kind of joking about the Hornets prior to you coming on. Just your reaction, I mean, Melo Ball, your reaction about that kid, I think he's going to be special, even though I changed my mind, K-Mac. I think he's going to be special. Your thoughts on him?
I tell you, you know, you have to have with basketball, you got to, you know, have a short memory. And I know coming in, even before these kids got into the pros, you didn't never really know what to, you know, the dad was talking and he was, you know, doing different things and people were on social media, boom, you know, you didn't really never know. And then when Lorenzo, you know, I'm a jump shooter till I die. I'm a jump shooter. So I didn't really like
You ain't never played with Reese.
So I looked at that jump shot and I'm like, oh, and then, you know, he went overseas, you know. But I tell you something, you're right. The kid can play. I've watched him. Even Lorenzo has made his shot better. He's worked
hard.
I noticed that too. And, you know, so the dad is looking like a mastermind. But he, you know, at the end of the day, I said, hey, those are his kids. He has the right as long as he's not abusing them. And, you know, even though that's still not, you know, something that we can get involved in, but he wasn't. He was just making them work hard. He had a game plan, and the game plan has seemingly been working very good. But like you said, the young kid is balling. I know he was hurt and he's back now, but I think he's going to be special also.
Oh, man. Well, Johnny, we're going to let you go, but I want to remind people that, you know, there is life after basketball. This brother here has done so much with Newman Properties, got a logistics business going on, a real estate company going on, serving on many boards, and you can hear he's reaching out and trying to help the youth of America. Hey, man, keep on doing what you're doing, my brother. We just want to get you on, let people know what's going on with you, and we really appreciate you giving some of your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate you all, and you know I will continue to tune in so I can – have some fun and get some good information and get some laughs too.
Man,
I appreciate it, brother.
Appreciate it.
Love it, man.
Right.
Take care.
All right.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
So, Reese, you know who Anthony Edwards is for the Minnesota Timberwolves?
You know he played for Georgia. He's a, you know, he played 1 year at Georgia. He's the truth. You've seen him on several highlight reels dunking on somebody. Yeah, I know.
I'm gonna say he's a high flyer, right? You know, yeah,
he's a high flyer. Yep.
Yeah. He went to Georgia, huh? University of Georgia. You a Bulldog?
Yeah. My Bulldogs. You know damn well they ain't my Bulldogs. But go ahead.
You sure? I'm just asking. I mean, no, you're right. Cause if he was going to your Bulldogs, he'd be a little smarter. Minnesota Timberwolves small forward Anthony Edwards. By the way, did you guys realize? Did everybody know Alex Rodriguez is, you know, going to be the new team owner for the Minnesota Timberwolves? Anybody know that?
It was revealed over the weekend that Alex Rodriguez and billionaire Mark Lohr, Mark Lohr are going to be the new owners of the Timberwolves. The high-powered duo has earned exclusive negotiating rights for the next 30 days, and it's expected they'll finalize the deal with Timberwolves current owner Glenn Taylor during that time frame. I thought Kevin Garnett wanted to try and get a piece of the team too previously, but didn't have any luck. So,
I got a question. Since we're just family here, what the hell did Alex Rodriguez do before? How you get to be a billionaire? What did he do?
I mean, you know, well, first of all, did he sign for $250 million? He's the one that had that first big time contract when he was like 12. I mean, he was making $250 million when he was like 22 years old.
I'm just trying to figure out. He's got to be the richest baseball player I've seen in my entire life. I ain't never seen nothing like this before in my life, now. This dude buy he buy more stuff. Obviously.
Let's be careful when you say that.
Back in 2007.
Go ahead.
Back in 2007, Alex Rodriguez signed a 10-year, $275 million contract with the New York Yankees. Okay.
That's 10 years, though, Reed.
That'll make a down payment.
That'll get you right for a minute.
Pockets be straight.
But it don't make you a billionaire, Reed. Come on, man.
What year was that, Michael?
It was 2007.
Wait a minute. He signed another contract after that. I think he went up. Was that with the Texas Rangers?
He signed with the Rangers previously.
How much was that?
Let's see here.
That was like 25.
10 years, $252 million.
Okay. See, Matt, that's a half a million. I mean, billion right there. You get the 10. You get two.
Who is the girl? Who's the girlfriend?
Wait, she used to be J-Lo.
It still is, technically. It's not official yet.
I'm still trying to figure that whole dynamic out. Like, you know, entanglement like a mug. I don't know what the heck going on there.
But the point is he made some money. I mean, he can make a down payment.
All right, Reed. I hear what you say, man. I'm just trying to figure. Look, I ain't in the man pockets like that, but I'm just saying.
Okay.
If you working at Target, the Maserati just doesn't seem like it fits your lifestyle. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on here. I ain't questioning, look, it's a whole lot of things go particularly. I don't know. I'm just saying,
right,
running around here buying professional sports teams and going with it, I'm just trying to figure it out, bro. That's all. I'm just asking questions, man.
But one point you left out, he didn't go in the room by himself. He brought brought a bank with him.
That's true too.
What's the guy's name again, Michael?
Mark Lorre.
Peter somebody. Yeah. Mark somebody.
Yeah, Mark Lorre.
I think they put a billionaire in front of it before they called his name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's like the $1 million endowment football endowment between Reese and John Stallworth. Is that right?
Exactly. See, that's a perfect example right there. We get $2 million a year. We get $2 million a year. Now, John gives us 1.9999, and I get $100. Yeah, that's it. But we gave it.
I got it.
Very
okay,
nice.
Okay, now I understand. So the reason we're bringing this up, because he is possibly going to be one of the new owners, and Anthony Edwards, who's a small forward for the Minnesota Timberwolves, says, I don't even know who the hell that is. That's probably not a good way to start out with your new boss, man. That's just me, but let's see Anthony Edwards. Let's see how off he is
We haven't gotten to chat with you since the news this weekend that Alex Rodriguez was getting ready to buy in as an owner here. Do you have any thoughts about him? Are you an A-Rod fan at all growing up or anything like that? What you think about what he might bring to the team?
A fan? What do you mean? Who is he?
The baseball player, Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
I know he's going to be the owner, but I don't know nothing about baseball.
I don't know nothing about baseball, really? He says.
Really? Really?
Let me tell you something, boy. Look. Young people never cease to amaze me. They just never cease to amaze me. When they in their own world, they could care less about anything. I mean, I heard he was going to take over. You could have said Mark Lorre for all I'm concerned. Yeah. I don't know the difference.
But wait a minute. But the thing about A-Rod, he wasn't a baseball player. He's kind of went beyond that with the whole J-Lo thing and everything. Come on. Everybody knows A-Rod is. You gotta be kidding me.
And A-Rod shared an Instagram post about the situation after he heard the soundbite. A-Rod said, "Hi, Anthony, I'm Alex." And then Edwards shared the post on his Instagram story and said, "What's good, my guy?" with a laughing emoji.
Young people, I love them. I love them, bro. Look, I just love them. They like, so hey, man,
where Jasmine when we need her? I'm with Jasmine's on today. That's a typical Jasmine.
That's BS.
Like, who's that?
that's like the young kid from Chapel Hill that time told me, "Oh yeah, you the guy that worked with Jasmine." I said, "Oh, okay."
Yeah, exactly. I get that all the time. You work with
I'm
Jasmine.
I'm the guy that works with Jasmine. Okay, well, I'll ask Jasmine what I got to do next week. How about that? I'll figure that out. I thought that was interesting. And we do all this just to bring up the fact that a lot of people probably told you about the news. They broke the news about A-Rod buying the team and being a part owner. But I guarantee you never heard it like we just did it. Just thought we'd highlight that for you.
No,
I just thought we'd highlight that for you. Jeopardy, let me make sure I understand this. So you got to explain this to me, Sheezy.
So Jeopardy, Alex
Jeopardy Rodgers, head coach Aaron Rodgers?
Yep, guest host. Aaron Rodgers is the guest host on Jeopardy for the, I think it was last week and this week. And this course comes on the heels of him having previously been a contestant on Celebrity Jeopardy. Well, he hosted last night and, well, hear for yourself when his team came up as one of the answers, if you will.
In the 1960s, these Midwesterners earned 5 NFL championship trophies. Green Bay Packers? Dennis, go
try
again,
title
I guess.
For 600.
They swept over the NBA, winning the title every year from 1959 to 1966. Eric?
We're the Boston Celtics.
Oh, you know that one, huh?
You know that one, huh? You know the Celtics, but not my team, the Packers.
Rodgers was in his feelings on that one. He was in his feelings on that one.
He said, now you know.
Green Bay Packers?
Well, I mean, I'm not mad at the man. I mean, I understand, Reece. I understand. But, hey, man, let me ask you a question. Do you think this stuff is a distraction? People like Aaron Rodgers are doing all this other stuff in the offseason. You think it's a distraction?
No, I think he's working on his next job. Although I think he's kind of like, as a host, he's kind of like, you need to get some more enthusiasm. He kind of like put you to sleep a little bit. He's too cool for school, if you were to ask me. But yeah, they're working on their next job.
You be killing me. So now A-Rod don't know how to hold Jeopardy. I tell you, boy, ain't nothing ever good enough. There's nothing never good enough for you. Reese, I don't understand.
Let's see Alex Rodriguez host Jeopardy.
Yeah, really. That'd be good. Speaking of that, yeah. Okay. No, to ask you a question, I think they're working on the next job, K-Mac. So I don't think the distraction. They're not doing nothing. OTA started up in a few weeks, I guess.
There are plenty of worse distractions.
Oh, yeah. Talk to Deshaun Watson. Would you rather be Deshaun
allegedly.
Watson? Allegedly. Rodgers right now. You probably want to be Rodgers right now. Trust me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to ride with that.
It's the Sports Shop with Reese and K-Mac.
When you hear this music on Wednesday.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew, pew.
You know what's about to happen. Lauren Brownlow joining us on the Sports Shop right now. What's up, Brownlow? How you doing?
Hey, y'all. What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on?
What's going on is... I'm telling you, I don't understand. What's next? Will this be the one quiet week we get from Chapel Hill? Is it? Is this a week? Is everything good now? The family calmed down? We good? No?
I'm not sure when the Walker Kessler transfer news broke, but that I don't know if that counts for this week or not.
Yeah, don't hurt. I mean, don't help. I'll put it that way.
Right. Yeah. Help. I mean, I who knows, right? Every time we think we're entering a quiet week, it hasn't been so quiet. So I don't know. Maybe somebody else will get in on the action now and start breaking some news. Maybe another triangle team will start. We'll start doing that, and then we'll have to deal with that. So who knows?
I'm telling you. We're talking with Lauren Brownlow, and I'm just getting caught up on all this ACC action, all this move. But go ahead, Reese.
So let's stay right there. Of course, like we K-Man just talked about, every week, breaking news, Roy Williams, breaking news, Hubert Davis, breaking news, what Hubert said at the conference. But where does the program go from there? Like, we lost Walker Kessler, and as a Carolina fan, tell me. Make me feel better about where I am as a fan right now with the program.
I mean, look, there's just still a lot TBD, right, in terms of next season and certainly beyond next season. I mean, so much can change even, you know, in a couple days, much less like a year. Mm-hmm. So there, who knows, right? But it's worth keeping in mind that even though I pretty much literally have like what, one big guy right now? They
right
had like
now.
Six. They had like six last year, and they've got like they've got one that they know will be in school, and that's Justin McCoy coming in from Virginia. That's a kid that Carolina liked a lot and was actually in his like final list because he's a local kid as well. So mm-hmm. you know, I wouldn't put too much stock into what he was averaging at Virginia. Tony Bennett also very famously usually does not play big guys in the first couple years all that much until they've got his system down. So I wouldn't worry too much about his Virginia stats in terms of what he could potentially do at Carolina. Is he gonna like average a double-double? No, but like could he be an effective member of the rotation? Absolutely. Still don't know what Armando Bacot's gonna do. And then the transfer portal, y'all, that's the thing. Like the transfer portal, I mean, there's so many names in it and they're probably going to be more to come. And so it's not as if Carolina is not going to have options to fill some needs and fill some roster spots, you know, going into next year and beyond that, who in the heck even knows, right? Because, you know, there's still, but you know, Hubert Davis was one of Carolina's better recruiters. It's also worth keeping that in mind. And that I'm sure that went into the decision at least somewhat is that on staff, he was one of the better recruiters and obviously Carolina had done pretty well in that department. And so I wouldn't panic just yet. I think it's a little early for that. If they can add at least a couple more bigs, I mean, Lord knows, you know, you don't want to go into a season with just one. Because then they might be playing a different style by necessity at that point. But, yeah, I mean, I think if they can get a couple more bigs, that they should be okay. They should be in pretty decent shape. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I feel a little bit better now. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
It's rare I can make somebody feel better with optimism. It's a strange feeling.
Yeah. Switching gears real quickly. I know you're a huge Carolina Panthers supporter. So y'all keep going down this. So now you have another quarterback. You have Sam Darnold. I'll just get right. You got Sam Darnold, and then you got Teddy Bridgewater, four-quarter Bridgewater, and you don't know what you're going to do with him. You got Chris McCaffrey, who, by the way, will be injured for another three quarters of this season. You have no wide receivers. Reese has already went on record and saying, I just feel like they don't know what the hell they're doing. So I think that they took the executive team that used to be in charge of the Hornets and moved them over, and now they're the GMs over on the Panthers. That's what I'm feeling.
Whoa, that's a wild statement, isn't it? Wow, we are there, aren't we? We are really there.
I think we are there. I think we are there.
I don't know who that's wilder to say about, by the way, the Panthers or the Hornets. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, to be fair, the Hornets have earned that. Like, they've done very well the last couple of years in terms of, like, and building towards where they're kind of slowly getting towards now. So, like, yeah, but no. Yeah. Do I know what they're doing? No. And you call me a supporter. And, like, yeah, man, but, like, that support is so not mutual, and sometimes I feel like I'm in a problematic relationship. Like I'm in a toxic relationship with this entity that does not love me, and you know,
at all.
It's like, it's just, I mean, and this is going to sound bad, but I had immediate Jimmy Clausen flashbacks with the Darnold thing. I think it's just because their faces. I don't know.
No, what? I think you're right. LB, that's pretty good. Now
like
that you
Sam
say
Darnold,
that.
I said this about Chase Bryce and Jimmy Clausen, but like I think Sam Darnold is like the angel version and Jimmy Clausen's like the devil version, like of the same person. It's pretty wild. You know, but
he does see ghosts all the time. Maybe he's seen.
Well, you know, that makes two of us, I guess, you know. But Robbie, I think they actually are pretty decent at wide receiver, which is a weird thing to say about the Panthers too. It's the problem is everywhere, you know, the problem is the O-line for one, obviously. That's a big issue no matter who your quarterback is, right? And you know, I was thinking about that with Darnold too. If you're seeing if you're seeing some ghosts like with the Jets, Lord knows you'll still see them in Charlotte. But you know, they've got issues to fix there. I mean, you can only do so much as an NFL offense if you do not have a game-changing quarterback, which which obviously they don't just yet, without a good offensive line. You just can't. And so, you know, they don't have that yet. Will they get it? I don't know, man. I just don't know. Now they're going to try to trade Teddy. Like, who's going to take Teddy? Like, they know that you don't want him. I just... Oh, it's just exhausting. This is,
I'm with you. I'd rather have a harness run my franchise now than what they have. LB, again, we're talking to Lauren Brown. We rock and roll each and every course of hump day. LB, who do they draft? Do they trade that who do they draft?
I mean, I would be pretty happy if they drafted Sewell at that spot. You know, it's a weird thing because sometimes where they've been drafting, it hasn't been worth getting an offensive lineman at that exact spot that has not been close to the best player available. I know that some people are enamored with Kyle Pitts. I don't hate it. It's still not as big a need as some other spots, obviously, but you know, I don't hate the idea of getting a guy if you think he's legit, like an NFL game changer, right? So I don't hate that either. I don't. If they draft a quarterback, I might break something in my home. I just because, like, come on. I would not understand it on so many levels, right? Like, the one quarterback, this is for real. The one quarterback that they could draft that would not cause me to break something because I do kind of like him is Fields. Like, that's the one quarterback that if they drafted him, I would not hate it. Right. Because I think pretty highly of his skill set. And I can't help but laugh at some. I don't know whose agent is responsible for all this stuff, man. But the smear campaign on Justin Fields, like, what did his agent do in like the, I don't know, the agent lunchroom or whatever? Yeah. Like, man, alive with this. I saw something today where Chris Mortensen was saying, like, oh, we don't like his technique. You know, there were people saying they don't love his throwing technique because he played baseball. I'm like, y'all acting like a bunch of quarterbacks hadn't just come out having played baseball, like, recently even? Come on, y'all.
Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes was a great baseball player.
Kyler Murray.
Russell Wilson. Kyler Murray, that's right.
Like, hi. You know, y'all might want to, like, actually fact check some of these things that the agents are giving you instead of thinking that, like, you know what I mean? Like, that's it's either the agents doing this or it's teams that want Fields to slip to them. But either way, like, and this is just me. I get tired of, like, a quarterback every year and seemingly more often than not, it's a black quarterback getting subjected to stuff
good
like
point.
This. Like there was work ethic
point.
With him. It's and now it's baseball. Like it's just, come on. Like who's doing this and why? Like you don't have to smear a dude's character and stuff just to make him slip to you or to make your client get drafted higher. This is trash.
All right. Lamar Jackson's supposed to be a wide receiver.
As always, Brownlow, it's a pleasure having you on. And I apologize for comparing your Panthers to the Hornets. I won't do
no,
that again.
I mean, it's probably more flattering comparison on the Hornets end right about now.
You've been listening to the Best of the Sports Shop podcast with Reese and K-Mac. Don't forget, you can download this podcast every weekday at WRALSportsFan.com, on our new WRAL Sports Fan app, and in the iTunes Store.